Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Kufin Shabbos. Okay, I guess that's a milestone. We're up to the 100th page of Masechta Shabbos, but almost. We're in the bottom of Tzadi Testament Beis, and we are continuing from yesterday. Really, we're deep now into the world of Hotza'ah, and we've been discussing Akir and Hanacha, and how to form a Rishus Hayachid. The Mishnah yesterday on Tzadi Testament Aleph talked about the formation of Rishus Hayachid by a simple stone or a simple mound on the earth. And by doing so, essentially what will happen is that you've created Rishus Hayachid. As long as it has the minimum dimensions are 10 tefachim high and 4x4 tefachim wide, so length and width, so then you're going to be dealing with the Rishus Hayachid. If I'm standing in a Rishus Rabim and I throw an item and it lands on the stone or it lands on the mound, so you'll be chayv on the malacha of Hachnasa, which is a talada of the malacha of Hotzah. I mentioned yesterday, possibly, a lot of Rishonim feel this way, that this is not a... There are two types of Rishus Hayachid. There's Rishus Hayachid where it has walls that create an interior space, otherwise known as a house. And there's another Rishus Hayachid, which we're describing over here, which is a mound. And it may not be exactly the same. I mentioned yesterday the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ridva. They all have this approach that on the mountain, on the stone, on the mound, so the area, if you put an area resting on top of it, that's Rishus Hayachid. But in other words, anything above it is not the status of Rishus Hayachid. We spoke about that yesterday. Then the Gemara dealt with a number of questions yesterday that were posed by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan wanted to know if I had a kosel in the Rishus HaRabim and I threw and it landed on the top of the wall. In other words, then this wall obviously creates a perimeter so that it creates a Rishus Hayachid, but I don't throw something into it. I throw something where it lands directly on the wall itself, and on the wall itself, it does not have a Makam al-Dalid. So would that be considered transferring from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus Hayachid? And the answer was, for that question, absolutely. Because if these Mechitzas are going to create a Rishus Hayachid, so they themselves, for sure, are also going to have the status of Rishus Hayachid. Then we dealt with a couple of other questions that were asked by Rav Yochanan. And by the way, review in general is important, but also, in particular, this review is important because it's really going to tie into today's daf. Rav Yochanan then went on to ask a couple of other questions. Let's say I have a pit that's 9 tefachim deep, and I then took a clod of earth from this pit so that now it's 10 tefachim. So when I was about to take the earth from this pit, so it wasn't 10 tefachim, so it didn't have a shear, it wasn't a Rishus Hayachid. But by me taking the earth, I've now done two things. I've taken the earth and I've transformed it into a Rishus Hayachid. So Rav Yochanan says, I wonder in that case, what would be the din? What would be the halacha? Would it be that now I've taken something from Rishus Hayachid when its formation of the Rishus Hayachid went concurrently with me taking that earth? So the Gemara says, unclear. Rav Yochanan wasn't particularly sure about that. Then the Gemara says, let's...
It seems to me, what's the question? When he takes it in his hand, it's in the pit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he takes it out. Mm-hmm. The problem is taking it out, not leaving it in the pit.
No, he took right. Correct, he took it out.
Right. Once he picks it up, and he picks it, then it's already there now. There's
When
he takes it out, it's...
But the Akira, I understand your point, but
Akira was not
I understand that, but the Akira has to be from, Akira has to be done from Rishus Hayachid.
Uh-huh.
And the Maisa Akira was not done in Rishus Hayachid. Okay, then the Rav Yochanan dealt with another question, which is basically the converse, meaning let's say I do the following. I throw dirt into a pit that had 10 tefachim, but by throwing it into the pit now, I'm going to be minimizing the shear because the dirt's going to rest on the ground, and by doing so, minimizing the shear. So as it comes to rest, it's resting and minimizing the shear, and Rav Yochanan would like to know, what would be the status over there? Would you be chayiv or would you not be chayiv? And the Gemara compared it to the case of throwing a date against the wall, a sticky date against the wall, where there it did not minimize the shear, but the Gemara says, but that's not comparable because the date is a food and that food is not going to minimize the shear, and dirt, of course, which is going to stay to the ground, is going to minimize the shear. So again, so on these questions, the Gemara left off these questions with basically, I don't know. And that's where we left off yesterday in the Gemara. So those are questions posed by Rav Yochanan. Keep that in mind. Right? Store that, slot that for a little bit later this morning. And now we are continuing the Gemara. We're on the bottom of Tzadi Tes Amud Beis. And it's about 7-8 lines from the bottom of the Amud. By Rav Azark Daf, Nanach Al Gabi Yesedos. Okay, we're going to do more of this, more of these types of scenarios. So I throw a plank, right, a wooden plank. It doesn't have to be wood, but I throw a plank and it lands on four beams. So now, essentially, same story. Meaning, so that now as this wooden plank lands on the four beams, so if you will, this desk is not a good example because it only has, it's resting on two, but okay, you get the basic idea. So if I took this piece of wood and I threw it down and it landed perfectly on the four beams, so now I've done a hanacha, and at the same time, I've also created the Rishos HaYachid. So what's the story over there? So the Gemara says, "By Rav Zarek Daf Anach Agabi says Mahu Maikami Bayla Anach Es Chefes Vastis Mechitza Bahadei Hadadikasu." So basically, now it's the same story. It's the same line of questioning as Rav Yochanan. Hainu de Rav Yochanan, and the Gemara is saying, "Good." Rav hasn't introduced anything novel to the discussion. It's the same line of questioning. So the Gemara says, "Kikami by Lala Rav, Kikon Dezar Daf Chefes Al Gabav." So the Gemara says, "Okay, you're right. That's not introducing anything new to the discussion. But what about this? What about when I throw? We're going to start with the same scenario. I have four pillars on the ground. I take this daf. I take this plank of wood. And I throw it down. And I know this is going to sound like you know, right? Something out of a movie. And then, oh, not then, but while I threw the daf, I had an item. Let's use this tissue box as an example. An item on the daf. So now." The daf comes to land on the four pillars, and that which is on top now is also going to be landing as well. And the Gemara now wants to know, now how is this extending the question? How is this making this any more of a question than what Rav Yochanan was asking? The Gemara explains like this. Are we looking again at the same thing basically, which is concurrent happenings? Concurrent happenings meaning that I've created the Rishos HaYachid and I did a Hanacha at the same time. Oh, Dilma, maybe this is going to be a little bit different. Why, Kevin, Dilma, Efshad, Dilma, Midle, Porte, V'hadonaich, Asiyas, Mechitza, V'anachas, Chefetz, Dami. If I could take this moment where the plank lands on the floor, what's going to happen? So, in other words, I threw it. So, with every action, there's a reaction. So, the plank is going to land and there's going to be a bounce. Now what's going to happen is that the plank is going to bounce up a little bit, come back down, and the box on top of it is also going to bounce up and come back down again. So if we could take this scene and kind of put in slow motion, essentially what's going to happen now is that this is going to land, this is going to bounce up, and this is going to come back down again. And on that bounce up and come back down again, is that considered now hanacha? So in other words, basically what I could do is I could segregate the two actions. The action of the plank landing down on the four pillars, that's now I create the Rishos HaYachid, and now the bounce, and then when it comes down to rest again, that will now be considered a hanacha on a formed Rishos HaYachid. So Teiku, the Gemara says, I don't know, meaning, I don't know if, good. In other words, what we did accomplish is now we've extended the question. Meaning we took Rav Yochanan and we just added one little wrinkle in his question, but the Gemara says, but still, Teiku, we leave these questions unresolved.
It's not called Gaila, the second
one. What?
It doesn't have to go higher than 10
tefachim. In other words, the pillars are above 10 tefachim. So that the plank I place on top now has the dimensions. It's 4x4, and it's over 10 tefachim off the ground.
It's not called Gaila the second time.
Oh, right. Okay, that you're right. That I hear. Right. Right. That I totally hear that. See, okay. Okay. Danny, Tosos also is addressing your point as well. In terms of, you know, there's so much space underneath. Okay.
So we haven't answered
Rav Yochanan. No, we haven't asked Rav Yochanan, we haven't answered Rava. Danny, Bam Toso, see, whatever, he's sensitive to your issue. Amar Rav Pshitali Maim Agabe Maim Haino Anachtan. Okay, and now let's progress with these types of discussions. Now again, let's go back to the basics, and then we get to play with some fun cases. We know that every act of Hotzah needs an Akira and it needs a Hanacha. Akira means I pick the item up. Hanacha means I put the item down. Okay, it's plain and simple. Now, when I say Akira, meaning, if my pen over here is being a wonderful example, meaning it's a stationary item sitting on another stationary item. So when I pick it up, that's an Akira. Okay. And now when I go to the other domain and I put it down, it has to be a hanacha, which means I'm taking a stationary item and putting it down on another stationary item. And if I don't have the proper kir and I don't have proper hanacha, we have not violated the malacha of hotzah. Every act of hotzah needs an akira and needs a hanacha. And so now the Gemara says, what about the following? Amar Rava Pshitali. Now I know we've asked a lot of unanswered questions. So Rava starts off this discussion with, here's something to me which is obvious, which is, Mayim agabe mayim. Let's say I have a puddle of water. And for purposes of our discussion, let's say that the puddle of water is situated in a Rishos Yachid. Okay? And now I lift the water up. But what I don't do when I pick the water up is I don't pick up the entire body of water. I take some of the water that's resting on the top of other water. Meaning, put it more simply, I take some water. Is that water, which is situated on top of other waters, is that considered resting? So that when I pick it up, that's considered a akira? Amar Rava Pshitali, it's obvious to me, mayim agabe mayim, haynu hanachtan. That's its natural resting place. And so therefore, when I pick up the water, I've done an akira. Egos agabe mayim. Now, what if I have a nut floating in water? Lav haynu hanachtan. Well, that's a solid object on a liquid, and solid on liquid is not considered its natural resting place. And that means that if I pick up the egos, I have not done an akira. Now, mind you, all this would still be asur midrabbanan, and still can't pick up a nut from a body of water and then transfer it and put it down. You can't do it midrabbanan, but you're not going to be in violation of the malacha votzah, because the malacha votzah requires an akira and anacha. And because this nut is resting on a body of water, and since it's not its natural, normal resting place, so therefore that's not considered now resting. When I pick it up, that's not considered akira. Okay, all that Rava says is pashut. That's clear to me. By Rava, egos bikli v'kli al gabe mayim. So now, here's the part of the discussion Rava says where I don't know. Let's say I have the nut resting on a plate and the plate's resting in the water. And so now it's one of the classics. How do I view the nut? Relative to the plate or relative to the water? So egos beklip, beklip tzaf agabe mayim, ma'u mi amrina basar egos azlinim v'han nayich. So do I focus just simply on the nut, meaning from the world of the nut's resting on the plate. So now, in other words, I did a hanacha. Right, I don't know, I don't speak Yiddish, you know I don't speak Yiddish. But the Yiddish expression, a worm in mustard, to him the world is mustard. Meaning, just, that's from the perspective of the nut, it's resting on the plate. Odilma, the Gemara says, or the other possibility is, basar klios linan v'halo nayach. Or no, in other words, the nut might be sitting on the plate, but the plate's right now flowing in a body of water. And so do I look at the nut relative to the water, which is not its normal resting place, v'halo nayach. I'm sorry, I just read all that. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved.
Why do we cancel it when we say that you keep something in your hand above 10 tefach and you're connected to the land?
Right.
So we are connected to the land. So
it is connected to the land, but again, we're now focusing on the act of Akira and the act of Hanacha. Meaning, you're right, as I'm holding something, even if I'm holding it above the ten tefachim, but I'm grounded, and so therefore the object I'm holding is also going to be grounded as well. Here, it's floating in air. Now, we're not going to say floating in air, we're going to say it's flowing on a body of water. But relative to halacha, it's floating in air. It's not on the ground. Neither touching the ground, nor grounded in the ground. Because teku over here, because it's maybe I look at the nut only relative to what it's on. It's on right now a plate. Now the plate happens to be in the water, but maybe I look at the nut relative to the plate. Okay, teku. The Gemara leaves it off. Shemla gabe yayin. Okay, now you know liquids have different densities, and anytime you make a salad dressing, you know this phenomena. The oil rises to the top. And that's true if the oil's in the vinegar, and that's true if the oil's going to be on water as well. Oil's just simply going to rise to the top. Anyone who lights with oil, you know, you put a little bit of water, you put the oil on top, you don't need to worry, it separates on its own based on the density of the two liquids. Good. So, shem l'gabe yayin, so here I have oil resting on top of wine, so now the question becomes as follows. Look, water on top of water, we said that's natural. And so therefore, when I pick the water up, that's considered its natural resting place, and so therefore I successfully done an akira. What about if the oil is resting on top of wine? Natural or unnatural? Is that, how do we view that? So this is exactly the question. So the Gemara has an interesting comparison. to a Mishnah in Tvul Yom. Mishnah in Tvul Yom, right? Masechta in Taharos. We don't get to see in the Daf Yomi. It's in Taharos. We don't do Taharos except for one Masechta. But the Mishnah over there talks about a Tvul Yom, and he is Mitami. Now, a Tvul Yom, we know what the story is with a Tvul Yom. It means that he was Tame, came into contact with some Avatama. He's now Tame. He toveled in the mikvah, but he still has to wait till nightfall. From the time that he toveled to the mikvah until nightfall, he has a residual Tumah. The consensus position, the majority position is, what degree of Tumah does he have? He's a Sheni L'Tumah. Now, as a Sheni L'Tumah, he touches food. What happens to the food? The answer is nothing. Food's fine. Because we know by food, by regular food, by chulin, a food cannot become a shlishi. However, if he touches truma, what becomes of the truma? Truma has a higher level of kedusha. Truma is more sensitive. Truma can become a shlishi. Good? That's just the basic background information of the Mishnah we're about to learn. Here now, story goes as follows. Oil resting on top of wine. The tful yom comes and he touches the oil. The oil becomes pasul. Clearly. He touched it. The question now becomes as follows. What about the wine? Now, he didn't touch the wine. He touched the oil. Now, we know any time in Tumah, there's a transmission of Tumah, it goes down a step. Okay? It's your basic rules regarding Tumah. So now when he touches the oil is what? A shlishi. When the oil now touches the wine would be what? A revi. But we're talking about Truma. There's no such thing. Truma doesn't become a revi. So basically now, if I segregated the two, if I'm able to look at the two of them distinctively from one another, so that means that the oil is a shlishi and the wine would be fine. If I were to remove the oil, the wine truma underneath would be fine. However, if I do not segregate the two, if I look at it as one body, as one entity, so that means that when the tful yom touch the oil on the top, the oil and the wine both become tame. What's the halacha? It's a machlokis in the Mishnayos of tful yom. Shemen shetzafa gabi yayin v'naga tful yom b'shemen v'lo pasul ela shemen. Tanakama says only the wine becomes tummy. And the Lashon Apostle, we've gone over this many times. The Lashon Apostle is because since we're talking about Truma, and since the Truma only goes up to Shlishi, when you're at the end of the road of Tuma, the word to describe it is not tummy, but rather Pasul. But in this context, Pasul means tummy. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri Omer Shneim Chibur Zeh L'Zeh. And Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says, no, they are connected. The wine and the oil are not disconnected, they're rather connected. It's considered one entity. And so therefore, when the tful yom touches the oil and the wine become tameh. And now that we know the Mishnah tful yom, now let's translate it back to our discussion. Our discussion was, when I pick the oil up from the wine, so is that considered a hanacha, a resting place? So, it's interesting, you really could have gone a couple ways over here, but we're going to do it like Rashi. So Rashi says, so now, how do the positions translate over here? So according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, who says that that's really considered one entity, so regarding Shabbos, according to the Chachamim, this would be tantamount to a nut on water. Nut on water is not its natural resting place, and so therefore, that's not considered an Akira. According to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, it's like water on top of water. Because when the tful yom touches it, the oil and the wine become tame, so it's basically one entity. It's water on top of water. Here too, oil on top of wine, according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, when I pick up the oil, I will that would be considered a akira and akira. Okay, Amar Abaye, Bor Brishus Harav Mamuka Sar Verachva Shmona Vizarg Lasocha Machatzel Chayef. Okay, and one more case before we go on to the next Mishnah. I have a pick. And the dimensions of the pick, 10 tfachim deep, and it's 8 tfachim wide. And I throw a mat, a machatzel, so I throw a mat into the pit. Okay, so is this a Rishus? And I threw it from a Rishus Harav. So is this pin a Rishus HaYachid? Sure it is. In fact, it's a very good Rishus HaYachid. It's 2 times greater than what we normally need to be Rishus HaYachid. Minimum dimension of Rishus HaYachid is 10 tfachim by 4 tfachim. This is 10 by 8. Good. So you'd be high. But then we're going to get on to the next case. What if the mat lands in the most awkward of ways? The mat lands vertically. I know, just right now we're dealing with the conceptual. The mat lands vertically. And so now essentially what happens is that as the mat is coming in, It lands vertically. Now there is a thickness to the mat, so now I have a space between these two, which is less than four tefachim, and this is going to be less than four tefachim. And so now, the Gemara now wants to know what becomes of my act. Is my act now an act of?
Will it completely divide?
In our discussion, yes, let's say yes. Meaning, I understand it's not going to happen, but if it were to happen, this would be the result. Well, again, this is Abai's discussion. Amar Abai, Bor Bishos Rabbi, Mamukah Sar V'Rach V'Shmona V'Zarak L'Toch HaMachetzel Chayev. So, the first case was Abai, is I threw the Machetzel in, it lands, then you're going to be Chayev. Okay. But Chilka B'Machetzel Es, but if that Machetzel divided the pit, like I described right here on the board, it landed vertically right in the middle. And so therefore now there's a minimization of the shear. And now as I look at the two sides, it is each side now is less than the minimum shear for Shos Yachid. Pater, so Abaye says, you're exempt. Now the Gemara says, now hold on a minute. Right? Yes, the end of yesterday's daf, which we reviewed at the beginning of this morning's shear, Rav Yochanan asked a whole series of questions that sounded pretty much just like what we're describing right now. Where essentially two things happen concurrently. I deposited something, and concurrent to that, I've also minimized the shear. Now, Abai over here didn't flinch. He said, in our case over here, you're going to be putter. So, if we took Abai now's position over here, and we moved it back to yesterday's discussion, of Rav Yochanan's questions, how do you think Abai would address those questions? So, it sounds like he would be saying putter, not only in this case, but in all the previous cases as well. The Gemara makes exactly a point. So, la abai de pshita le de mechatzel smevat la mechitza, kol shekin chuya de mevat la mechitza. Now, from Abai's perspective, if a mat of reeds is going to minimize the shear of said pit, so the clump of dirt for sure will minimize the shear of said pit. And now let's turn it around. Let's go the other way. What about how would Rav Yochanan view Abaye's question? Rav Yochanan was unsure about whether dirt minimizes the shear. Now dirt is something which goes on the ground and stays on the ground. You're right. It's right. And if Rav Yochanan's unsure whether dirt is going to minimize the shear, well, we're talking about a mat of reeds. That won't minimize the shear. So, and the Gemara makes exactly that point. Pshita de la mevat le mechitzasa. Okay? So, obviously, Abai and Rav Yochanan are not on the same page. And I mean that both literally and figuratively. Rav Yochanan was yesterday's daf, Abai is today's daf, and the Gemara notes, they do not agree with one another. Conceptually, Abai, who says that this matter reads is going to be minimizing the shear of the pit, yesterday would say that the cloud of dirt would also minimize the shear. Rav Yochanan of yesterday's daf, who says that the cloud of earth, I'm not even sure, says Rav Yochanan, if that minimizes the shear, the machatzel for sure will not minimize the shear.
So if he had a pit
that is
exactly as tall, anytime you throw anything in there...
Okay, hold it. Okay, good.
Where is Rabbi standing?
Basically,
you threw in a pit
of
reed. What you did with it.
Okay, I have a pit, and it has the exact minimum dimensions of 10 by 4. 10 tefachim deep, 4 by 4. Malaya Maim, and it's filled with water, Vizarak Lasochal. And I throw something into this pit, Chayv, you're going to be Chayv. Water does not minimize the shear. You're going to hear that again and again today. It may actually sink into all of us. Water does not minimize the shear. It's a liquid. It doesn't take away from the dimensions. Water is going to go in, water is going to come out, water evaporates. Water is halachically, in terms of reestablishing any type of shear, it doesn't. Water does not. So if I throw something into this pit, even though it doesn't rest on the ground, it rests on the body of water, you're chayev. Malaya peros v'zarek l'socha pater. But if the pit is filled with fruit, so then you're going to be pater, but my time amayim lo mevat l'mechitzasa, peros mevat l'mechitzasa. Because water does not minimize the shear, but fruit will. Tanyina mehachi azorek minayam l'istra, mina istra l'yam. If I throw from the ocean to istratya. Istratya, says Rashi, is the same word as sratya. Now, I don't know if we remember. I mean, this you really need a memory for this. But this goes all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta. Daf Vav, I believe. All the way back to Daf Vav. So we were trying to define what are the areas of a Rishus HaRabim. So, Ezuhu Rishus HaRabim, all the way back on Daf Vav, what is the Rishus HaRabim? And the Gemara says, Sratya, Oplatya, Gedola. So Rashi over here is funny. Rashi says, you know, the Yisratya over here is the same thing as the Sratya. Oh yeah, and just go back 94 blot in the Masechta, and remember that that's part of Rishus HaRabim. Anyway, point being, I throw from the ocean to the Sratya, from the Sratya to the ocean, you're going to be Potter. Right, because an ocean is a karmelis. Now, if you didn't know that yet, you're excused because we haven't learned that yet. That's today's daf. Today, daf kof. We're going to learn that an ocean is a karmelis. But so that means it's neither Rishus HaRabim nor it's the Rishus HaYachin. So what am I doing essentially? I'm throwing from Rishus HaRabim to karmelis, or from a karmelis to Rishus HaRabim. So you're not going to be chayev. Rabbi Shimon Omer im yesh b'makom shezarek amok asar v'rachav arba. If the area in the ocean that I'm throwing has a in other words, it's not a flatbed, but it actually has a ditch in the water, and the ditch is 10 by 4, and I threw over that area in the ocean, so now what have I done? I've thrown into a Rishus HaYachid. Well, wait a second, what about the water over the top of it? Water is not going to change the dimensions of the mechitza. If it is a mechitza of 10 by 4, it's a Rishus HaYachid. Despite the fact that there's water, all we're doing is just hammering the point that water does not distort the shear of anything. If something has a dimension of 10 by 4, it's going to be Rishus HaYachin. Okay, now, let's take a step backwards, and then we'll go forwards. The Gemara just concluded that when you have a pit filled with fruit, the fruit will distort the shear of the pit. Right? In other words, the Gemara says it very, very clearly. The Gemara says that if the pit is filled with fruit, peiros mevat le mechitzasa, well, because now the fruit is going to take away from the depth, so therefore now it's no longer 10 by 4. Okay. And Tosfos says, I don't understand. Did we not just discuss a day ago, 2 days ago, where I threw the date against the wall? And what do we say? Even if I'm standing exactly 4 amos away from the wall, and I threw the date at the wall, right? Well, we just had this yesterday. And I threw the date at the, and I threw the date at the wall. So the Gemara says, even though the width of the date is going to take away from the shear, but it's a date. So in yesterday's daf, we talked about how food does not take away from the shear. And on our daf today, we're saying how food does take away from the shear. And this is not my question. Tosfos is bothered by this. The Im Tomer. Tosfos at the very top of the Amud. Umaisha mitvele shmena da amrinan la'el da ha-mevadle. And don't tell me that Abai doesn't abide by that, because the Gemara earlier told us that he did. That also takes us back to the very beginning of the Masechta, Daf Zayin. In the yeshivas, by the way, when they learn Hotza'ah, so what they do is they learn the first 8 blot of Shabbos, and then they jump right to Perek HaZorik, because it's all connected. So if you go back to Daf Zayin, so you're going to see that a dvela, it does not minimize the shear, so the question is very straightforward. And all you got to remember is yesterday's daf and today's daf, and you realize, wait a second, there's a discrepancy. Zimin mishan le because the leis bechor of a dvela shmein, okay, v'yei shlomar. So Tosfos makes the following suggestion, and perhaps intuitively, you all saw this. The dvela ino menes kol kach leis batel sham bekosel, kemosher regil mevato peres babor ke'ein tvua. Tosfos' first answer basically is, look, when I'm throwing a pit and it sticks to the vertical side of a wall, it's not going to stay there. Meaning, gravity will eventually do its magic, which is pull it down. Or somebody's going to come along and take it off the wall. Meaning, that's not it's not a real resting place for the date, and so therefore that date is not going to minimize the shear. But if I'm talking about fruit that I'm putting at the bottom of the pit, where it really plans on staying there, and it's a vertical drop, and not in. It's not. I mean, right. It's down, and gravity's only going to keep gravity it down.
Helping it.
Yeah, gravity's only going to help it. So there, it can and it will minimize the shear. That's Tosfos' first suggestion. Inami dvela davar mordhu v'lo mevatla avabor male peros ochatziv mevale rishos yachin. So Tosfos gives the second answer, which is as follows: when you're looking at one date, that's one date. It's just one fruit. And so therefore that's not going to minimize the shear. But if I'm filling the pit with fruit, which is what we're discussing, so there it's a total completion of the pit with the fruit, so that would be mevato. So either you could talk about the forces of gravity, or you could talk about the amount that we're really discussing. Okay? Possible suggestions of Tosfos.
Let's to minimize. Why do you have to fill it up? If I fill just one item...
Right, so based on Tosfos' second... based on Tosfos' second answer, right, one item was not going to minimize the shear. That's
against the wall, which is
all right, and against... Okay, that's the first... But that's the first answer of Tosfos. Okay, so... Right, okay.
So one item will not minimize.
Right.
It has to be the whole floor.
According to Tosfos' second answer, yes. Now, is the first answer arguing with the second answer, that's a shear. That's beyond the Daf Hayomi. Okay, next Mishnah. Hazorik arba amos bekosel lamalam yasar tfachim kazorik ba'avir. Lamantam yasar tfachim kazorik ba'aretz. Hazorik ba'aretz arba amos chayev. Okay. And now our next Mishnah, which to us now is rudimentary. It should be rudimentary, meaning we've seen this again and again, which is that throwing is a subcategory of the malacha of hotzah. And the Mishnah teaches us that if I throw four amos, and it lands on a kosel above 10 tefachim, it's like you threw it in air. And like we've discussed time and again, every Rishus HaRabim, okay, now what's on this side of the wall to us doesn't even matter right now. So I'm standing over here, and I throw an item. So now, every Rishus HaRabim has a legal ceiling of 10 tefachim. Anything above the 10 tefachim is makum patur. So if I throw an item and it sticks over here, so I did not throw four amos in Rishus HaRabim. If it's stuck over here, so it says ki'ilu, it's as if I threw it on the ground, and therefore you be chayim. That's the simple point of the Mishnah. Hazorik arba amos because lamala me'asar tefachim kizorik ba'avir. Lamata me'asar tefachim kizorik ba'aretz. And hazorik ba'aretz arba amos chayef. And if you throw four amos in the Rishus HaRabim, you're going to be chayef. Gemara is bothered by a very simple question. V'halo nach. So the Gemara says, okay, but when I threw an item and it landed against the wall, it didn't rest on the wall. You need a hanacha, right? This is one of our big themes of the day. Is that in order to violate the malach of hotzah, you need a kira and you need a hanacha. Where's the hanacha? I'm Rav Yochanan mitvela shmeina shanino. So Rav Yochanan says we're talking about a sticky fig, and the sticky fig sticks against the vertical of the wall. Do you remember? I mean, this goes really back to the beginning of the Masechta. Do you remember that one of our Tosfos was bothered by this question? One of the things that we kept repeating again and again is that when you need a hanacha, it has to be on makom dalet al dalet. It has to be in an area 4x4. So even if it's a sticky fig, where's the makom dalet al dalet? Okay, so Tosfos gives two answers. I'm going on memory, so okay. Just cautionary note, a disclaimer. So one answer of Tosfos is the vertical walls considered the makom dalet al dalet. It is a bit of a chiddush, meaning that's usually we don't view a vertical plane at a 90 degree angle. We don't view that as the makom hanacha.
It makes the border of a.
Okay, so in other words, it's a chiddush. It's a chiddush of Tosfos, is that we're going to view the vertical wall. Or the other chiddush of Tosfos is that because there's nothing between the fig and the floor below, and even though there's distance between them, let's even say there's more than three tefachim, even though there's distance between them, perhaps we could use the floor as the makom dalet al dalet, even though there's airspace in between, that's also a chiddush, but... Look, you got to say something. You need a makom dalet al dalet. I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm a Rav. Back to our Gemara. So again, the question is a very simple question. I'm sorry. New point. I apologize. New point. I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm a Rav. I'm a Rav. Bichia zark lamalam yasar v'hacham v'nacha b'chor kol shehu banu machlokes Rav Meir v'Rabbanan. Let's say again, same case. I throw it against the wall, and here it's not a sticky fig, but and for our purposes, let's have it land right over here, and there's just the smallest groove in the wall, and so when I throw the item, it actually lands right in that little groove, right in that little spot. Now, I know I drew it really small, you'll forgive me, but for the purposes of our discussion, that little spot over there that landed, that little groove, in the, that little shelf in the wall, is not dalet al dalet. It's not 4x4 tefachim. So,
it's above the line.
It has to be like
lamala. Oh, you're right. Forgive me. You're right.
It's under.
You're right. I take it back. Let's make our trajectory different. Okay, and it lands on this little ledge that's in the wall, that's embedded in the wall. So are you going to be chayev, yes or no?
Is it above 10 tefachim?
Now, it is above 10 tefachim. I was corrected, and it's a good correction. I'm Rav Yehuda Marich, Zarek Lamala Me'asar V'Halcha V'Nacha B'chor Kol Shu, and it lands B'chor Kol Shu. Now, mind you, that here it didn't traverse four amos in the Rishus HaRabim. In other words, basically now the question will become the following. That little landing, it does not have 4x4. But that wall that I threw it in was a very thick wall. If you want a lot of thickness to the wall, okay, good. It's a very thick wall. If I started carving and etching into the wall, I could create a groove that's 4x4. I could. And now that potential, I could create a groove of dalet al dalet. Is that legally enough? This is a concept which you're going to see a couple of times throughout Shas. This is a topic of Chokikin Lahashlim. Do we, if there is area for us to carve out, even though right now it's not, halachically, do we make that carving? Is it considered legally as if it's already done? There's a machlokas tanayim, whether or not this is so. It affects the halachas of Erevin, it affects the halachas of Mezuzah, and right now it's going to affect the halachas of Hotzah. So, Banan l'machlokz Rameir Rabbanon. This l'machlokz Rameir and the Chacham. Rameir dam rechokin l'hashlim mechayev. Now Rameir subscribes to this principle of chokikin l'hashlim, which means that even though that little ledge is not 4x4, but since there is area to create a 4x4 spot, chokikin l'hashlim, we carve it out. Now he does not mean that we literally do it. It means that it's ki'ilu, it's as if it's done. Now the Chachamim don't subscribe to this principle. Lo mechayev, so therefore they would not say that you'd be chayev because it landed simply on a ledge that is less than 4x4. It's not a Rishos Yachid. Tanya Nami Yachid, the Gemara says, and we have a Brisa that basically makes this very point. Zarg Lamala Miyasar Vahachav Nacha Bechor Kol Shu, when it landed on the small, slow ledge. Rav Meir Mechayev Vachacham in Poch, and the Rav Meir says you're going to be chayev because Rav Meir subscribes to this principle of Chokuk in Lahashlem, and the Chachamim say that you are not Chayev. Okay. I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm Rav Tela. Mislaket Asar Mitoch Rabav Vizark Vinach Al Gabav Chayev. Okay. And the last point that we make before the next Mishnah is the point about incline. Watch carefully as I describe unbelievable phenomena. You see that line over there? That's called the ground. You see that line over there? That's called the wall. Okay? And so, what's the difference between the ground and the wall? So, the answer is 90 degrees. Okay? In fact, we can even demonstrate it by that. Okay. Wonderful. Now, at what point exactly do we not call it ground and do we call it a vertical wall? Meaning, when I go from here and I move the angle up, when do I say now that the angle going up becomes a wall? So the Gemara in Erevin, we'll see this a lot in the Gemara in Erevin, and we're going to see it right now. So it's what the Gemara refers to as Mezlaki Dala Besoch Yud. So that means that as I go across 10, it's going to go up 4. So when I arrive at, when I achieve that angle, and if you know a little bit of geometry, you could figure out the angle. So when I achieve that angle, this now incline is considered a wall. It's precisely at this point where it's no longer considered ground, but it's going to be considered a wall. And this is a halacha of HaMislaket Asara Mitoch Arba. Now, by the way, I kept saying it's not four tefachim. Okay? Let's make that point clear. So really, my
four amas.
Right, it's four amas. Right, I told you my little secret. It's an amas Lashon Nekeva. So it's got to be Arba. When the Gemara says the word Arba, that means it's Arba Amos. Right? Arba is Lashon Nekeva. Right? Hebrew, which is generally speaking a very organized language. When it comes to numbering, so, right, Arba is Lashon Nekeva. Okay. With every general speaking, there's an exception. Okay, so the So, tell Hamislakin Asar B'toch Harbav Azark V'nach Al Gabav. So the mound does have these dimensions of this incline of 10 tefachim, 4 going up. So you're going to be chayev. By the way, did I mess my numbers up?
10 tefachim.
Meaning it's 4 across and 10 up? Four amos across. Right. Didn't sound right, didn't look right. It's 10 tefachim. Okay, we're looking at that slope. Okay. Obviously, that's a much smaller incline. Okay, so tell him, you're going to be chayv. Tanya Nami Hachi, the Gemara says, we've learned this in a brace as well. There is a step down, not a step, but an incline going down from the Mavi to the Rishus HaRabim. Or it's the mavu is pretty much level with the Rishus HaRabim, but then it's a steep decline going down. Either way, the mavu does not need a lechi nor a kora. Now you'll forgive me, I will not go through the entire discussion right now of what a lechi is and what a kora is, and when you get to the first day of Erevin, you'll get a much fuller explanation. The point over here being is that once you have such an incline, either going up to the Mavui, or going down from the Mavui into the alleyway, either way, the point being is that once you have this incline, it's considered a wall. And once you have a wall, I don't need a Lechi or Korah, because the whole purpose of a Lechi or Korah is to create a distinction between where the Rishus HaRabim ends and where the Mavui begins. But once I have such a steep incline, and since halachically it's a wall, you have your hecker. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer tell him it's not going to start mitoch arba v'zark v'nachal gabav chayev. And if I throw on top of it, you're going to be chayev because essentially it is now a wall. Our next Mishnah begins zark l'soch dale v'nizgagel amos v'nizgagel chutz l'dal amos butter. I threw something and I threw it within four amos. Now again, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, to be chayev on Shabbos you have to throw something a total of four amos. Anything less than that, you're not going to be chayev. And it rolls four amos, so you're going to be pater. Chutz adamos v'nagal asoch dalad amos chayev. If I throw something greater than four amos and it rolls back to me, so I'm going to be chayev because essentially I threw something four amos. Now v'halo nach, the Gemara is bothered by a very simple question. You need a hanacha every act of hotzah, or in this case mavir dal amos needs an akira and it needs a hanacha. So the Gemara wonders over here. Where's the hanacha? I'm Rav Yochanan v'ushanacha gabe mashehu. So Rav Yochanan says there was a hanacha, meaning that before it rolled back, it stopped. It was stationary for a moment, and then afterwards, it rolled back. Tanya Nami Hachi, the Gemara quotes the Brayse as well. V'zark chutz l'dal amos v'dachfu aruach v'echnisaso v'afa pisha chazra v'otsiaso pater achzaso aruach mashehu afa pisha chazra v'echnisaso chayev. So here the Brisa spells out exactly what we just said, is that if I throw an item greater than four amos, and it first rested, and then rolled back, you're going to be chayev. If it immediately rolled back without pausing to rest, you're going to be pater.
Why do we apply the principle of love with saying that as it is standing within three to four amos?
Next. Amar Rava toch gimel l'rabbanim tzarech hanacha agabe mashehu. Now, beginning of our parak, we had a debate between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim of this principle of what's called Kluta Kemishahun Chadami. Do you remember? Where Rabbi Akiva subscribes to this idea that once I have something in the airspace of the Rishus HaRabim, it's as if it's already rested. Okay? And the Chachamim disagree and they say, no, we don't subscribe to this principle of Kluta. Okay. And let's assume right now, not like Rabbi Akiva, but like the consensus, the majority position of the Chachamim, where we don't subscribe to this principle of Kluta Kemishoncha. And now the Gemara wonders, so now we don't subscribe to Kluta, so would the Chachamim say that it's within three Tfachim, and we have the principle of Lavod, so now, is that considered rest? Is that considered vis-a-vis this Halacha Vanacha, is that considered rest? Rav has a very definitive position. Toch Gimel Rabbanan, even according to the Chachamim, who don't subscribe to the principle of Kluta, you need Hanacha. You need real physical resting, not this legal business of lover. So now a discussion ensues in the Gemara. Lav haynu masnisin v'amar Rav Yochanan v'hu shenacha agabe mashehu. So look, I'll give Rava credit, but how much credit do you want to give Rava? Isn't that basically what we learned in our Mishnah? And certainly when you learn Rav Yochanan's rule on top of the Mishnah, isn't it obvious? Meaning, what did our Mishnah say? I throw something greater than 4 amos and it rolls right back, you're going to be, our Mishnah says, you're going to be chayev. But on that, Rav Yochanan made the point, but it had to actually physically have rested first and then rolled back. So what you see from Rav Yochanan is that in order for a hanacha to have been accomplished, to have been achieved, it needs an actual physical resting and then roll back. So I'll give Rav a credit, but shouldn't you first give Rav Yochanan credit for basically this point? So the Gemara says, no, don't take credit away from Rav. Am Rav Yochanan v'ushinach agabe mashu, am alei mizgalgo kamart, mizgalgo ein sof ala nuach, avahai kevin the sof ala nuach, akav agav delo nach, keman denach dami, keman shmolan. The Gemara says no. Because in our Mishnah and Rav Yochanan's attachment to our Mishnah, we're talking about cases where basically it's rolling in either direction. Away from you, towards you. So maybe there you can argue, I need a physical resting. But here what Rav is teaching us is something, it may be even a bigger point. Which means that let's say the object is making a vertical descent. Right? And in other words, and we know, as gravity will declare, it's going to come and it's going to come land and land in this spot. What you could have simply argued is, once it gets into the Gimel Tfachim airspace, it's ki'ilu munach, it's as if it's rested. Yeah, I know Rav Yochanan's halacha, but Rav Yochanan was talking about where it's sliding back and forth, away from me, towards me. So there I need a physical rest. But if it's coming in a vertical descent and I know it's going to come to rest, the argument maybe you could have made is ki'ilu nach, as if it's rested. And so along comes Rav to teach us that's not enough according to the Chachamim. The halacha of hanacha for Shabbos vis-a-vis this hotza'ah, the halacha is it needs a physical resting on the actual ground. So that is where we're not going to take credit away from Rav. Right, huh? It needs contact. It needs physical contact. Okay, we'll stop over here. I would have liked to have gone to the next Mishnah. Okay, but that will do tomorrow. Okay, I'm a little bit lost. Today is Friday. Okay, that would make tomorrow Shabbos. Okay. Okay, look at the things you learn. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So again, what happened today? We finished up our discussion about questions of Rav Yochanan, whether. Whether two things happen concurrently, either the formation or the revocation, if you will, of a reshus, and concurrently a hanacha occurs or an akira occurs, how do we view that concurrence act? So Rav Yochanan says, I'm not sure. And today's daf started with Abaye, which Abaye says, no, I am sure. I didn't look it up. I apologize. I should have. Okay, so, and Abaye disagrees with Rav Yochanan. Then we talked about Zorg Dalar Amos. We introduced ourselves to the concept of Chokin Lahashlin, right? Machlok Chin Ramir and the Chachamim. And then we finished off the day today speaking at the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud that talks about a Hanacha, the Halacha of Rava, which is Hanacha vis-a-vis Hotza, needs a physical rest on the ground. Lavud for our discussion of Hanacha is insufficient. It needs to actually be physically on the ground. A learning we do this morning should be for continued refuah shlema for Binyamin Zeva Kohen ben Sharon Rivka and for Avram Rafal ben Adis Itka. Rechanan ben Akash Amar Rechakas Baruch Zakh Yisrael Fiyach Achir ben Torah Mitzvah Shenemar. Nechafet Zaman Kiko Yagdil Torah Viyadir.